Hello and welcome to another episode of VG Club. I'm your host, Viv, aka Daxter23 Jack, and today I am joined by Ben, aka BJK394.
Hey.
Cool Luck, aka Marcus.
Hello.
Javi, aka Javiously.
I am the Blue Prince.
Good for you. And Chris, aka Korea9.
I'm not the blueprint.
And we are going to be talking about the, I guess, indie darling blueprints today. As you can tell from the hint of disdain slash annoyance and Chris's voice. No, I'm kidding. But it sounds like Chris and Marcus weren't the biggest fans of this game, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. But does anybody want to start us off with what little there is of the story?
No.
Well, the wrapping your head around the story requires so much reading and cross-referencing, but there is a lot of story, I believe. Like, there's like a whole unfolding conspiracy, I believe, going on with like the lady of the mansion and all that. But to keep things simple, I guess I would say that you've inherited a mansion from, I guess, your grandfather, your father. See, I don't claim to know anything about the story. I'm here for the puzzles, but. But yeah, you've inherited a mansion, and there's some stipulations that, like, you only get it if you can make it to the 46th room in the house, and you'll find that this mansion is magical. And as you open every door in the house, you have some RNG where you decide between three different rooms that you can spawn, and you have to strategically pick the room that you're spawning to both get further into the house and not block yourself off, and then also get the items and, I guess, resources that you need to keep going. And that's kind of the gist of the game. Let's get to room 46. Yeah.
And yeah, no. I mean, my statement about it not having much story, I guess much traditional story, it's kind of just like each room of the estate usually has like some sort of clue. I mean, there's some rooms that are like strictly puzzle rooms, like the pump room or the boiler room that don't have story in it. But most other places have at least a hint of story or a puzzle clue at the very least. So there's something in every room.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess before, now that we got the story out of the way, like, let's start with everybody's general thoughts in the game. Ben, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, sure. So I guess I liked this game in theory, but in practice, I think a lot of the like roguelike element of it is kind of where I butt my head against it. I found it kind of annoying where you technically solved a puzzle, but you didn't because like the specific room that you needed to actually solve it just didn't spawn. So it was, I don't know, that I think that element of it kind of the fact that this is a puzzle game and also a roguelike, you know, weird combination of the two, I think is interesting in theory, but I think in practice the roguelike element of it didn't really click with me per se.
I think that's very fair. I feel like this is a very love it or hate it game. I mean, it sounds like you're kind of in the middle, Ben, but I think you're somebody who wanted to like it, but you kind of just got blockaded by some of the game's quirks.
I mean, if this game was just like, you know, just a giant house with, you know, 46 rooms that are all like locked in place, I probably would have liked it more. It probably would have been a whole lot shorter because you would have got through it. Like, I don't know, I see the appeal of the roguelike element to it. I'm just like, the fact that getting some certain runes to spawn will like change other rooms in the house, and like that's an interesting way, like that's an interesting way of doing it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it. I felt like it was the randomness of it was maybe a bit too punishing, at least at the start.
I feel like the RNG roguelike elements are responsible for so much of like the highest highs of me playing this game. Like without that, the stakes would not be as high of like, oh my God, this run, we have 15 steps left and we have to make it to this room and you're counting each tile and you're like, can we do it? Oh, but what if we tried to spawn? Like, what if we, maybe we could get a kitchen, maybe we could get, you know, and you're just like trying to like, you know, stretch this as far as you possibly can on this one run, right? Or hoping like you discover something and you're like, oh, if I had this thing when I spawn this, oh, then I could do. And so you kind of like back pocket that idea and you keep an eye out for it in future runs. And like all of those things culminate, for me at least, into like this like constantly exciting like adventure where you're like hoping and you're always kind of nudging towards whatever goal you're focusing on a run, but it may or may not allow you to do that. And I think it's really the attitude you bring in to the game that makes all the difference. If it's like, oh, I want to solve this, why aren't you letting me solve it, then yeah, you're going to be really frustrated for sure. But if it's like, okay, now I think I understand what I need to do, so let's keep an eye out and let's do our best to like try to make that situation happen. And like I was always like 9 times out of 10, every run that I do, I'm like, this is a dig run. We're going to get a shovel. If we get that opportunity to like spawn more dig sites throughout the mansion, we're doing it. Like we just over index on digging, right? And like that.
Oh, yeah. And
money and keys. Yeah.
It can break. The digging itself can break the game because I, what is it? At some point during the game, you unlock a room called the laboratory where you can run experiments. You can run one particular experiment where if you dig up a piece of trash, it increases your allowance by one.
Yes.
And yeah, over time, I was able to get an allowance of over 100 coins, so money was never a problem for me.
It's so awesome. And like the feeling of accomplishing something like that, which is like so specific. And like, what if on that run you didn't have a shovel or you didn't make multiple dig sites happen, right? Then your future in the game is fundamentally different than somebody else's. So like it's high stakes. It's, you could waste an amazing opportunity, but that is also what makes it so rewarding and thrilling when you like make the most out of it. And like, you know, like a month or so ago, like I guess like the run right before I got to room 46 was like an all-timer. It was like, wow, we accomplished like 3 or 4 mind-blowing things in one run. We discovered things we had no idea existed, and we created like the super hammer and the super shovel in the same at the same time, and we're like, this is insane, right? And like we also, I think we discovered the underground like tunnel and being able to get to that room with the 8 doors for the first time, and all that stuff happened on one run, and stuff like that is like magical. I went to bed that night just like beaming about this game, and like I was so delighted and entranced, and like thinking about, God, this is what a fucking game. This is so awesome. Like I was so stoked about it, and it was like weird to like see in this chat like almost every one of you was like expressing just frustration and that you dislike this. You're like, I think I'm done with this. No, don't like it. And I'm like, man, that's wild, the difference. I think it's yeah, go ahead.
To be fair, Javi, I think I kind of landed more on your side of the aisle with this game, but I definitely had some frustrations. Like there's some puzzles, like and I guess spoiler for anybody listening to this, we might mention certain puzzles, solutions, certain plot beats. So, yeah,
I feel like
heads
I should
up
wait till the end for that. Then, or not the end, but at least after we all go through the base of the game.
The base of okay. I was gonna mention like a specific puzzles solution, but no, I guess that's a good point, Marcus. Chris, what were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, so I think what Javi is saying, like, you know, where he was getting success and like it was thrilling, is like I was just being stonewalled like every turn. So it's like I'm not learning anything, like I'm not getting any good rolls for rooms, and so it's just like over and over, and I'm like, I'm not enjoying this because I'm not solving any puzzles as we're going, oh, all right, I figured out this thing in the the game room or whatever, where it's a pretty cool puzzle with the dartboard, but it's like it just opens up, like, it's not advancing the story for me. It's like, all right, that's neat. Like, it's a cool math puzzle, but I'm not advancing to get to the final room. And like, I had this run where I got all the way up to the top of the, you know, the map there, and had a door right next to whatever, what's it called, the antechamber. It's like, I don't know how to open it, and nothing I found at this point indicates to me what I should be doing there. All it does is there's now a door I can't open. It's like, so I just got really frustrated with stuff like that, and then had like four runs after that where I couldn't get to like level, the fourth level on the map, because you just get shitty rolls, and you get shitty rolls, or you don't get items to pick up to like, oh, here's a roll, but you need 3 gems to open this room. It's like, well, I don't have any gems because nothing has come up to have any gems anywhere. So yeah, because I wasn't making progress, I just was starting to get really frustrated with it. And that's probably where you saw my frustrations in the chat, where just like, I'm not moving. And I know it was still really early on. I think I stopped playing at like day 12 or something, which,
yeah. So I play this with my wife. We basically pass the controller back and forth on each run. And mm-hmm. we call when that happens, when, like, you know, you do a day and it's just giving you dead ends and you didn't really accomplish anything on that run. I mean, ultimately, the amount of time that usually wastes is maybe like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, but it's
like,
not long.
But yeah, we call those asshole runs. That's like when the game's being just a jerk. Mm-hmm. But, you know, usually, I guess later in the game, those are especially a waste of time. But I think early on, like what you're saying, like you did the dartboard thing. I think that phase of the game, especially when you haven't even made it to room 46 properly, that phase of the game is really about understanding what even is this, right? So you'll learn that dartboard puzzle is not a puzzle in the grand scheme of things. It's not like you're solving this, okay, done. No, that's just a resource, because now you know that that will give you the gems, right? So you're spawning that room with the intent of, I need some gems for future runs or for future rooms that I'm going to spawn. And actually what helps a lot is if you can get the library, you can check out books. And like, you decide what book you need, and then the next time you spawn the library, the book will be on the table. And there's a book that teaches you how to strategically play the game better. Like, it tells you, like, early on, like, don't go straight up, don't go north, fill out the bottom and prioritize getting gems. Like, that's early. The early part of the day should be bulking up your gem collection so that you can spawn better rooms later on, because you're not going to be getting gems up north. And so, like, that book has all these tips and tricks of, like, how to play the game properly, I guess. But then it also is, like, also, these are just suggestions. Play the game however the hell you want, you know? But
right. But that would have been useful. I think I got the library once, like, in the 12 days. Like, that was an option one time. Mm-hmm. So it was, like...
Yeah, and honestly, like, I... the friction the game gives you, I feel like it decreases as the more time you put into the game, because you unlock more permanent additions. I guess, you know, it's like, oh, there's a gym mine you can unlock by doing a puzzle in a certain room, and that starts you out with two gyms every day. Or you find an upgrade disc that allows the storeroom to have like 10 gold coins instead of one gold coin, and you can actually start buying stuff.
Yeah, it's, and that's kind of just that's the roguelike piece, that's the actual progression, in my opinion, right? Because you're like, now I never have to worry, like you said you never have to worry about money. Like, could you imagine if like you get to that point in the game and you're like, wow, okay, digging for gold to like buy whatever you want from any of the shops is not a factor anymore. And it's like, wow, you've made that what would you say, like checkpoint, or you've hit that point in the game where like you've progressed past that, right? And that's the sense of accomplishment, that's the sense of progression that I think everybody's kind of not feeling, is like you need to get to that point, right? And it is a there's resistance, I guess. There's time you have to sink in.
Uphill battle.
There. Yeah, an uphill battle. Yeah.
Which is
fine. For reference, my allowance is 9 coins a day. Damn. So to get to 100, you're grinding. You're doing some real grinding with that.
Sometimes it's just you win the lottery with that experiment. That experiment changed everything.
Speaking of lottery, there's even like a casino room. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, oh, I can bet 100 coins on a roulette wheel in the hopes that I'll increase my allowance by maybe like 4 coins, or maybe I'll get, you know, like 10 gems or 10 keys. That's that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're living the high roller life. Also, this your uncle who passed away, who set this entire, you know, game into motion, essentially. Giving access, I guess, like, what, 11, 12-year-old access to, like, a casino? I feel like that's not the most responsible parenting move.
We're only supposed to be 11?
Yeah, you're a little
boy. I mean, you're pretty young. I mean, like, you've won the, like, computer science, like, contest a number of times, so you know how to work computers, but, yeah, you're pretty young.
Oh, weird.
You can see yourself in the
a little
the
boy just like camp out in the wild like that.
Yeah,
just like
I'm on day 70 and I'm still I'm still in that tent. I can't stay inside the magical house ever.
You know what's funny? Like, I obviously got to room 46, but then I feel like that's almost the halfway point. There's so much game beyond that and things to do and discover. It also gives you that like achievement list to like hunt for, like after you do that. But I guess what
I'm
saying
is hour 57, and I still haven't unlocked all the rooms and gotten the quote unquote true ending.
Yeah, well, like the way that I'm playing kind of is a detriment to progress, and I don't mind at all. Like playing with Rachel, it's like, you know, we wait until the night where both of us are in the mood to play, and we pass the controller back and forth, and then eventually she wants to go to bed, and I'm not going to play without her, so that's it, right? So we only get a few hours in every now and then. Where, like, my friend Martin, he, like, plays it on his own as much as he wants, and he's, like, hundreds of hours in, so much further than we are. But, like, I guess I don't have this, like, I don't know. I have a thing with video games where, like, if I'm not going to complete it 100%, but I had a fucking great time with it, that's totally fine. I don't hold that against the game, right? It's really, like, I can walk away on amicable terms, right? And so, like, I'm looking at blueprints and I'm like, oh, there's so much more to do. But I could stop right now and never touch it again, and I still will look back so fondly on the highs that I had here, where I'm like, what a fucking game, man. Holy shit. Amazing. And like, I don't need more. I mean, it's cool that it's there, and I think me and Rachel will continue to play it. But like, I'm so high on it, and I could just stop here. Like, I don't need it to justify more to me. Like, I think this is such a special piece of art. It's such an amazing game. And one specific, because I want to make sure that I like share some of the memories. But like one of the ones I want to call out is the gallery, and it's like an art gallery, and they have I think 4 photos on the wall, and then there's like a bunch of like characters on the wall. Like you can put in letters, and you have certain letters that you can scroll through. So you're meant to like type a word referencing what the painting is showing you. And the word is supposed to be the name of the image. Sorry, go ahead. What'd you say?
I didn't say anything. Did anybody else say something?
No, sorry, I thought Chris
was trying to say something.
Yeah.
I think my mic cut out for a second. Sorry.
But yeah, no, that puzzle threw me for a loop. Oh.
Yeah. So that puzzle, man, we were in there and we had not spawned that room before. And this was a situation where, like, it was the end of the evening. We were tired and we're bumping our heads against this, just trying to figure out what any of these could be. And I think right before we gave up, I was like, I don't know. Should I spoil this? Do you guys care if I spoil this? Just one of them?
You can go ahead. That's fine. I'm probably not going
to come back. Okay. So one of the paintings, I forget what the word is, but it has a word in big bold letters, and then the K is like really thin. It's like not bold. And we're looking at this thing and I'm like,
stupid.
Why is I'm like, what the hell? Why is the K thin? What's with the thin K? And then Rachel's like, thin K. Type in think. And we type in think, and that's the word, and it activates. And we're like, what the fuck? Are you serious? And like, we were like, oh my God. Oh, okay. We got one. And then we're looking at the other three and we're banging our heads against the wall. We can't. And we're like, let's go to bed. We'll come back to this. And luckily I'm playing on my Steam Deck, so I can just put it to sleep mode. And then, so later, I think the next day or the day after, we come back, we turn on the Steam Deck, and we're like, oh God. And we're banging our heads against the wall even more. And Rachel is like, let's just leave. We can come back to this some other time. Let's just keep going in the mansion. And I'm like, no, let's, we're not leaving. Right. And like, I think at one point we were almost humoring just looking it up, because it was just not making any sense. But like, us persevering and like really digging in, I'm like, okay, we have think. What if these are all kind of suggesting something similar to think, right? And then once we eventually got the next word, I think it was ponder or something, and then the snowball started rolling, and we were like, oh my God. And the euphoria of solving that room, of getting all 4 of those, is unmatched, dude. Like, when we figured that out, we were like, we didn't give up. We took 2 days to do this, and just being stubborn paid off. And like, what a treat that was. Like, it was unreal. So anyways, just wanted to share.
No, that room, oh God, I had to wait until like hour like 40 something in order to solve it, because there's a clue for that puzzle, but it's in room 46 behind another puzzle that requires you to solve the sigil puzzle in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And even then it's like, oh, I'm going to give you the first letter of every word. I'm not going to spell out the answers for you. So
interesting. We didn't have any of that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have gotten it otherwise, because like, I guess spoiler for another one of the pictures, but you already said it, ponder. So basically it's like a painting of a red wagon with a P on top of both, but P's only on one. The wagons are mirrored, so you're supposed to be like P on red. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, since it's mirrored, it would be backwards. So it'd be P on a dir. Or then you're like, ponder.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Insane. I mean, it's it's stupid, but like once you get there, it's like, oh my god, I can't believe it. Like it was so hard to figure out because it was so obtuse. And I don't know, I think this game, like I have like this, you know, I think this game sits very comfortably right next to like some of my favorite puzzle games of all time, like The Witness and The Outer Wilds. Like these three games all have like this like prestige in my mind of like, man, those are all timers. Also, I guess there's a game on Dreams, that Media Molecule Little Big Planet like game Dreams. There's a whole puzzle game just like these that's called Lock. Lock is amazing. If you like this game, go check out Lock on Dreams. That should be its own standalone game. It doesn't belong in there. But
well, so does question? Yeah, that was the question. Because like,
no,
is it a jigsaw like puzzle where as you're trying to solve it, someone's coming up to the table, picking up the pieces, and throwing them against the fucking wall and saying, "Pick them up."
Yeah,
that's the thing. Is like that's too unfair to this game, I think, because like it really is about planning, and like I said, putting this knowledge in your back pocket and kind of trying to I guess nudge it in the direction you want it to, but it may or may not grant you those opportunities. But you also have to keep, like, at all times there's the possibility and likelihood that you're going to discover something completely different that you didn't know about as well. And I think that maybe part of the reason that you guys were, you know, dealing with so many dead ends and so many failed starts, it might be that like you don't fully like have the rooms and what their uses are like internalized, I think. So like I think if you, I mean, not to say that there are asshole runs for sure, but they don't really happen that early. You always have the three rooms you can spawn from the entryway. I always go either left or right first, and I go all the way to the outer wall. Like, guarantee that happen. Like, I do that. Unless it gives me something really fucking weird. But I always try to, like, spawn rooms that...
Like an L shape. Like, I go left, and it's like, here's a bedroom that only goes up.
Sure, but then you can go up and then, you know, try to go left from there, and you may or may not be able to go left immediately, but eventually. Not to say that, like, 100%ing the entire mansion is always going to happen, if not even, like, I've only done it once, actually. But usually, I get most of either one side or the other, like, filled out completely. I don't know. I think that it's not that aggressive, where it's, like, also, it's tough to like call things puzzles in my mind. And I mean, other than that, like the gallery is a perfect example. Like, that's a puzzle, right? You stay in that room until you solve it. But Blueprints is kind of this fluid, like, let me keep that in mind. Let me try to get this tool and that room. And if we can do that, oh man, like, we're going to get some big progress, right? Yeah, I don't know if that's puzzles, right? But
no, it's not. And I think that, like, oh, this is a puzzle game. And, like, that's how it was, you know, kind of portrayed. That's how, you know, the media talked about it, right? Like, games journalism, like, oh, there's this, like, cool puzzle game. So you go in expecting puzzles, and, like, there's no fucking puzzles. Like, where are the puzzles? I'm just wandering around. I'm picking shit up. I don't know what I'm doing. The game doesn't contextualize it to me. And I fully agree. I probably didn't go far enough, and I haven't, like, internalized what I'm supposed to be doing, but like it pushed back enough at me, I'm like, fuck it, I don't care, I don't sure. I don't like this, like, it's not fun for me. I'm happy that you and Dax had a blast with it, like, I'm glad somebody did. It just didn't work for me, because it's like I wanted to go and solve a puzzle, and it was like I'm just Legoing rooms that I get a choice of three, and it's like, okay, and now I'm done. I don't know what I'm doing, because nothing is like directing me to do it. Like, all I know is I got to get up to the antechamber, and I did that, and then I was like, fuck, like, what am I supposed to do? So I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Javi, I just want to bring up a little point because you had mentioned Outer Wilds earlier, and that is one of that's like a top five game for me, like across all genres. Like I adore that game. And so, you know, I do see some of those similarities with Blueprints and Outer Wilds, especially because, you know, Outer Wilds wasn't just the one central mystery. Like, there is the one big overarching one, but then you're very quickly introduced to other sub-mysteries, and those mysteries have your spin-offs when you're collecting the clues. And and Blueprints has that sort of similar, like, here's some info over here and over there, and maybe initially you don't know what that info is for just yet or where it connects, but you have the info. Like, my phone is full of pictures of this game at this point.
Yeah. I got over 60, 70 photos on my phone. a screenshot function for this game is very nice. And like to me, even using like the screenshot function on the PlayStation wasn't good enough. I wanted to be able to just look at it at hand while I was in a room. Like, oh, okay, if I need to draft this room, okay, which rooms have I noticed have vents in them? And then just be like take a look and be like, oh, okay, this hallway has vents in it.
Getting venting to the lab was a revelation. What a fucking cool moment. Anyways, let's go.
But
so awesome.
There is all that those sorts of things where it's, you know, I did a similar thing in Outer Wilds. Was like, this is going to probably be important later too. Some of that information for where you need to go. You know, now where some of those things just deviate here is that there's a lot more like actual game mechanics here. You know, Outer Wilds was, you really couldn't influence much of anything. The cycle was the cycle for the most part.
Sure.
And so here, when you have all these mechanics, and these mechanics aren't always available to the player just based on some of that RNG, that's where that, for me, that frustration comes in. And I'm just like, I want to do this thing. I don't care that you want to show me something else or that I can pick a room that isn't necessarily beneficial for progression in the mansion, but it's like, oh, well, that's a new room. Like, let's see what's in there. And it's just tough when the game is taking that control out of my hands and saying, no, we want you to do something else now. And I'm like, no, but the puzzle. Like, yeah. Let me solve the puzzle I want.
I mean, I understand that criticism, but I also equally, like, while understanding how that's frustrating and why people wouldn't like that, at the same time, it is the reason that those moments hit so hard when they did, right? Because you're always at risk of wasting this opportunity. And so, like, when I start a run, I guess not so much anymore because, you know, I've hit these checkpoints or these sections where, like, now I'm not worried about money so much, right? Or whatever else, whatever upgrades, permanent upgrades that I've unlocked. But usually, when I start a run, I'm like, okay, we need to make sure that scrap that. Every single run, even now, like when I get to the halfway point of the mansion, I'm looking at my steps. And I'm like, okay, we're sitting at around 20 steps. We need to start prioritizing getting more steps, right? And so you have that planning kind of baked into yourself, right? Now, when you're spawning rooms, you're considering, are we going to be good? Are we going to be able to like make it as far as we need to? Are we going to get the most out of this? And I think that like going in with that mindset, that preparedness, and obviously you don't have control over what rooms it gives you, but you have control over like making the most out of what it does give you. Right. And so, and I think that like thinking about the game that way when you're playing it, like pays off big time, and it makes it feel like you're like trying to overcome a challenge, I guess. And sometimes it totally pans out and you're able to do something incredible with the limited resources you have. And even when like you don't have the resources where it's like, oh man, I just realized we got to do this and this, but we have 10 steps left and it's 15 steps away. Fuck, right? Even when that happens, usually the next run or the run after, you'll get that opportunity again. And you're going to be ready that time, right? There was a thing with the fountain, with the water, the pump room. I needed to like empty the fountain so I could get down there. And like I like took the elevator down from the foundation and the elevator was stuck down there, and I went back into the mansion and you can't bring the elevator back up, so I had to go through the fountain to get the elevator back up, and it was like a huge pain in the ass and it wasted all those steps and all that. Like, obviously that's frustrating. Obviously I would understand when somebody would be like, fuck this game, what the, right? But at the same time, that being the stakes makes overcoming it like so much sweeter. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with that, right? Because like I wouldn't have it any other way. I think that like there are, I guess people could make the argument that like the RNG should be more generous. It should be prioritizing giving you more of what you need. Maybe that's true, but that's so like nebulous. I don't really know what's going on back there. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, so the foundation, where were y'all's, like those of you who got it, where is it in your mansion?
Oh, is it different for everybody?
Yeah, it's different. It's the most important decision you probably make in the entire game, because that's where you go to if you lock yourself like in the bottom quadrant of the house. I would always just go back down to the foundation, take the elevator up, and then I would be able to continue, especially when I was going for the, what is it? There's a drafting weepstakes a trophy where you have to put 20 dead rooms in a house layout. God, I wouldn't have been able to do that without the foundation.
Yeah. I did not know the foundation could be in a different spot. I thought it was always where I had it. That's really funny.
Where was it for yours? Like, so
mine's like on the west side.
Okay. Like, yeah. Mine's middle west side. Okay. Yeah. Because for those of you who are unfamiliar with the game, like you've got a 45 square like quadrant that you build your mansion in. The antechamber and the entrance hall are always fixtures. And then once you unlock the foundation, that becomes a fixture as well. And yeah, from there, it's like, oh, you know, like you'll have certain rooms that'll be like, oh, if you reach rank 8, you can eat a meal in this room. So it gives you reasons to backtrack and use up your steps. And you'll definitely, like, if you play this game long enough, you'll get to a point where like you run out of footsteps, like one room before like you reach like a coat check or something like that, and you're just like, damn it.
Yeah. So it can. My foundation is 2 rooms away from the antechamber. So to do anything around the foundation requires me to go so long in a run just to get down there. And
I think even mine is
lowering
2.
That elevator, I like, I'm not getting the pieces to actually do that. And now I need to spend another 20 minutes to come back here to try it again. It's
so
just
there's
that
a
kind of friction that I really hate. But
there's there's a shortcut that you can, a permanent shortcut you can unlock that lets you access the foundation from the start, from the courtyard. So you don't need to make your way up there. And that actually will bring you all the way that far into the mansion from the get-go. So that's kind of a cool checkpoint, I guess.
Does that shortcut require you to have lowered the elevator and the foundation first?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. At that end, the thing is, like, with the
start
of each
button
day,
down
you need
too.
Well, you need a security card in order to use the elevator. So it can be frustrating until you unlock like the function for the dartboard room. That's just like, oh, now this is a break room because there's a bunch of employees in the office and all that sort of stuff. And then while you're in that room, you get a security card for the next day, and that makes things so much easier.
You know, like, what's fun is you're describing all that stuff in the dartboard room. I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never seen any of that. So that's really funny.
Oh yeah, the upgrade discs are like everywhere. Like right now.
You're talking about an upgrade disc. Well,
yeah, an upgrade disc will allow you to do that. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. It was an upgrade to the dartboard room.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. But yeah, I think I'm just guessing now because I didn't know the foundation could be in different places. But I'm assuming the foundation is always in that row, so it's like we're choosing where in that row because it's 2 down from the antechamber is where mine is.
Oh, that's actually that's a really good spot.
Is it in a different place for? I mean, not two down in the center, but like one.
Oh,
west,
it's in the center, but like mine is like if you like quadrants, like you've got like an A quadrant, a B quadrant, a C quadrant. Mine's in like C4 when you're counting up from the bottom.
Oh, that's pretty low. That's pretty early. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. It's it was close enough to the middle that I'm like, okay, I think I'm happy with this.
Okay, yeah, ours is pretty deep in there. So yeah, ours is also a pain in the ass to get to. That's funny. But maybe that's also a benefit, because if you take the other way to get up there, you don't have to spawn all the rooms to get up there. I've never done that.
It'll be a benefit eventually once I can use that. I've got my basement key in the coat check, so I'm like, well, I can't get down there yet, so... That's what my runs have been like focusing on.
You know, it's funny. Chris was talking about like finally getting to the antechamber and the, you know, the door just showed a white wall. Like we've all done that, or most of us, I think, have done that. Right. But like, there's nothing like that first time you encounter one of those levers and you pull it and you see the animation of one of those walls lift and you're like, oh shit. Let's get there. Let's spawn rooms to get to that door right now. Like, holy crap. Like that was like maybe the first revelatory moment where like, oh, that's what, okay. We can beat this. We can do this. Right. So I think it's a matter of like discovering that, which requires bumping your head against that wall until it happens. But
see, like, I really like those moments. Those are, at, like, the moments in this game that I have experienced, which, you know, is very limited compared to Javi and Dax. It's just they don't come often enough. There's too much time spent trying to get there when I already know how to get there. And yes, like I do the planning stuff of like, all right, let me save these pieces for later, especially these three like exit pieces. Like, yep, definitely want that for later when I need more options, especially as doors will tend to be locked and I'm early enough where most of, like half the time I don't have enough keys once I'm down at the end. So it's like, mm-hmm. I'm still trying to do all that planning, but it's still, you know, like I said, it doesn't guarantee that it's going to pan out, that the time you come to the like make or break moment to draft a room, it's like, oh, nope, it's not the one you have and you're out of dice. You can't reroll. So this run's done. See you later.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the fact that this game is more of a roguelike than it is a puzzle game, I think is what kind of, I think that's kind of the thing that a lot of us, I guess, that didn't really click with it is thinking with, because like for me, I had those moments here and there, like I spawned the garage and then I saw the fact that like you have to power up the garage door in order to open it. So then I did manage to get whatever the circuit breaker to spawn, which then you power up the garage, and then I spawned the garage and I got outside, and then I, you know, went around the corner and unlocked the gate, and I think that's a permanent unlock. So I found stuff like that and that's really cool. But then, you know, at the same time, I found the pump room, had no idea what to do in there, and then I found the library, which there's like a book that's like the pump room manual, which I checked mm-hmm. out, and I got that, but then I never got the pump room to spawn again. So it's like, it's just one of those things where like I know how to solve the puzzle, I just can't get the RNG to work with me, and I think that's kind of where the frustration kind of comes with.
So the game should present you with the pool first, because the pool guarantees a pump room, or at least it puts the pump room in the pool, ironically, to be spawned. So that might be why you never saw it again. But the, like, we're talking about puzzles, right? Like the pump room itself is a capital P puzzle. And that is like, there's certain rooms in this game where it's like, you're going to hunker down and you're going to figure this shit out or not.
I right? can't tell you the feeling of elatement I felt when I was, I got done with all the pump puzzles and I was like, I never have to deal with this puzzle again. Oh my God. I never have to deal with this puzzle again. It just felt like the last day of school, just being like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like, the differences in people and what their skills are, because fiddling with the levers and the valves in the pump room and in the breaker, not breaker room. Well, I like the breaker room too, but the power room? What is that, what it is? Whatever. Both of those, I really enjoyed fiddling with those. Like, if I switch this and I reroute it here and I turn this one down and this one up, like, what happens? And I press this button. Okay. Oh, it's pulling or it's filling or the other way, right? Wrapping my head around that just through sheer fiddling with it until I understood kind of how it worked. Doing that was so rewarding and so much fun. And it is the last thing in the entire fucking world that Rachel would want to do. She would never do that. She goes, I'm not doing this. And she would just move on. Right? Like, it's not happening. And there's those little puzzle boxes. Those are my favorite. My God, those little puzzle boxes with a bunch of buttons. And when you press the button, they behave differently.
Those are my favorite. I love that. Once you get into the basement, you find out, like, oh, each color square, like, does something different, and it's related to a different country.
No shit. What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's okay. Like, oh, basically there's a bunch of puzzles with like the countries, but like you're part of an authoritarian nation that's like in the center, and above you got like a mining industrial country, and below you've got like a academic kind of like, think of Venice country. And the color for the squares for Urza, they can only go south, whereas the color for the industrial nation can only go north.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I just pressed the buttons until they went where I wanted them.
There's a manual like in the sigil rooms that kind of lays some of that stuff out. But
gotcha. Yeah, but yeah, I guess, I mean, what I'm saying is, like, there's stuff like the pump room and all that. Like, figuring that out was one of the great joys for me in this game, was like, oh, okay, now I know how to drain or fill any room on here, and then oh my God, the reservoir, guys, the reservoir. Holy shit. That's like one of the most recent things we've solved. Getting that working was so hard and so rewarding, because you need to not only get the reservoir to the level that you need it at, but then you need to empty the fountain to get down there. And then you have to take the elevator through the foundation back up and then get back to the pump room and then fill the fountain back up, because you need to get that water out of the reservoir again. And then you go back down and then go to the boat. But you got to make sure you put that mine cart in the right position so you can get around it, which you can only do one way. And then you take that boat across the reservoir. Oh my God, it is so convoluted. But solving it and actually making it into the little cave, oh my God, amazing, amazing. I love this game so much. You're all missing out. I feel bad.
No, I mean,
I also feel bad.
We can hear it in your voice, Javi. And I guess, like, while I did fall more on your side of the aisle, I definitely had my frustrations with this game, and they required me, like, at a certain point, I was just like, okay, so considering the cost and benefits of the situation, like, oh, the benefit of solving a puzzle that I've been frustrated on for, like, several in-game days, that's this high, but what is my frustration level going to be that every time I go into that room, I'm not going to be able to get the puzzle because I'm missing like one piece. So, you know, I would have to look, I would have to look up some of these answers, because I'm like, I couldn't beat this game without the internet.
Boo.
Yeah. I mean, there's,
I didn't look all of them up. I'm just saying I had to look some of them up. Okay. Boo to you too. At least I didn't give up.
Yeah, I think looking up answers is giving up.
Do what you gotta do to enjoy the game, whatever. But I don't know. I think that like there's things I could point to right now that we haven't solved, and I don't think we will. So like there's those eight doors in the what would you call it, in the chamber or down in the basement. There's those 8 white doors. We got a key for one of them. Actually, we got a key for a second one on our last run, but we couldn't make it down there. I don't remember how we got that. So we're going to have to figure that out. But either way, we went into the first one and there's this weird kaleidoscope puzzle with like 4 different valves to turn that create different patterns on there. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, I don't think we're ever going to do this. Like, let me be honest. Like, I think this is where I'm tapping out. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm looking at here. And I'm plenty satisfied with what this game has given me. But even beyond that, something more simple, like we talked to like one of our friends who just picked up this game and they already got into the orchard, the like apple tree section on the right. We banged our head against that fucking padlock just trying, like we thought we figured it out when we found a painting with a bunch of apples. And we're like, what if we count the apples? And that's the code for, and we just tried every variable until we actually sent that picture to those friends. And we're like, just real quick, is the answer to the padlock in this photo? And they're like, no. And we're like, fuck, we've been wasting our time. And
it wasn't, I thought it was in the tree.
It was carved into the tree.
Yeah.
Where there's like a bunch of apples, like some are off the tree, some are on the tree.
You found the photo in the dark. You found the photo in the dark room, right?
No, it wasn't in the dark room. It was in the drafting room, I think. It was like on the easel in the drafting room. So maybe we're thinking of something different. But either way, we never made it into that orchard. And we don't know to get in there.
That gives you 20 extra steps per day, dude.
Oh, that would have been nice. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, I thought I did that to do the 4 flames outside. Wasn't the
we never did. We only have we have 1 flame. We don't have 4 flames.
Oh shit!
So yeah,
I thought that was a way for progression.
So that's what I'm saying.
Another way to get down there.
Yeah, there's so much undiscovered in this game. Like I say that I'm like a little over halfway through, but I have no idea. And yet I'm still plenty satisfied. I still am like, this is an incredible game, easily a game of the year contender, a fucking all timer. But yeah, there's so much to discover. I can say pretty confidently, there's no way in hell we're going to 100% this game. That's never happening unless we're looking it up. But that's okay. That's okay.
Question for y'all. The drawing room painting puzzle. Did you figure that one out? Where to get the safe code for that room?
I was gonna
ask Javi about that because I couldn't figure it out. I kept slamming my freaking head against a wall because like there's a chessboard in that room and I knew like the second part of the puzzle from that, but then it's just like, oh, each room is like, it'll be like there's 2 like paintings of objects, and it'll be like, oh, there's there's a picture of a race, and then there's a picture of like an ace of spades. And you're like, oh, okay, that room is like an R, and you're supposed to do that forever, all the 45 rooms. And I'm just like, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this.
Oh, I'm thinking of a much simpler puzzle than that one.
Yeah, are you talking about the safe in the, what's it called?
Study, drafting room. I got them confused.
Dude, yeah, what is up with those saves? The safe in the boudoir also?
Yeah.
I don't know how to get any of those.
So I did solve that one. That one's so. That
oh
was
God,
one
don't
of the
spoil
things,
it. Don't
like
spoil
a lot
it.
Of, I won't spoil it, but that was one of the things where it's one of the puzzles, and I think there's a lot of puzzles in this game where I was way, 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 way overthinking it, and the answer is so simple and so obvious that I'm like, oh well, duh. And it was one of the things where I'm like, oh fuck this game. I was like. It was so easy and so simple, and I was way, way, way overthinking it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Can I ask one question? Mm-hmm. Is the solution in the room with the safe?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh my god. Okay.
Because like I've opened that safe so many times that it now it's like, oh wow, you've inputted this code over 50 times. We're not gonna make you open it anymore. So now I go into the room and the safe's open.
Oh shit.
I did that after the first time.
Really? I had to do. Huh. Weird.
Well, one thing that I only discovered in the last couple runs, which is so frustrating, is that like if you've put in a password into any of the computers, one of your buttons on your controller just uses the last password, so you don't have to type it in ever again. And I did not know that. I've been typing it in every time.
I've seen that. So, it's like left trigger on the Xbox, but I've been playing on PC, so I just type with the keyboard in, and I don't see that option.
Gotcha.
Okay. I didn't know that either, but yeah, I did find that password, and I'm like, oh, this is good. I can just keep it in my mind, but yeah, that's way simpler if I can just input the last password every single time.
So Javi, you found out the answer to all the reservoir stuff without finding the very obvious hint, right?
I think so. Like I went down into the underneath the fountain in that basement area, like where the reservoir is, and then there's that white tunnel. And then you can offshoot to the left before you head to those 8 doors. And by just pure luck, and I discovered this after explaining to my friend like what happened, but by pure luck, earlier in that run in the power room, I had routed the power to that little red box that I didn't know what it did, but I just happened to do that. So I was down there, and that red door was open, and I was able to see that like chalk line on the reservoir just telling you like what level it needs to be at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would have figured it out anyways, but I did take a photo of that at the time. So that is the only clue I had about the reservoir, and it really was just trial and error, because I'm like, there's something with this reservoir, there's this boat here, and I assume I need to get it to the other side, to the other dock. That seemed pretty like obvious, so it was just like a matter of like doing it.
Nice. But yeah, there's... Ben,
to my original question, you said you solved that puzzle room one with the arrows and all the paintings?
Oh, in the drafting room?
Yeah.
No, you just asked about that, and I like typed in drafting room blueprints, and I was like, oh, I've never solved anything in that room. So no.
Gotcha. Shoot. Yeah, because I was hoping that Ben had solved it, and like similar questions, like is the answer in the room? Do I have to just logic it out based on what's on the wall? Or because a lot of times you just come across a different room later on. Here's a snip of paper that says, "Hey, yeah, here's how you do that." It's like, cool. I'll just do that later then.
Yeah, I haven't solved that one. That was with me in that safe, because I did find, I think it's in the meeting room, there's like a slip of paper on one of the things that has a number on it, and I thought that was the combination, but it's not. That must be, I never figured out what that goes to. That must be for something else. But yeah, I think that's
Did you guys ever open the safe in the bomb shelter?
Yep.
You ever figure that one
yeah
out?
Yeah, I love that one.
So cool. Like when I found out it's not today, it's the game's day, right? Like my mind was blown. Like, wait, so I have to like figure out what was day one and then add the days that I'm on.
Or
and then
your library
figure out what time it is. Oh my god, that's so smart.
Yeah, because like there's also like if you go to the terminal in the security room, like there's a, I guess, the headmistress of the house who kind of is in charge of all the quote-unquote servants. She wrote you an email on the day before you arrived, and you're able to kind of calculate it from there, and then I'm able to be like, oh, I'm on day 31. So then you go back to 1993 and just look up the dates online.
This game's
calendar on the wall, and I think in the kitchen maybe there's a calendar on the wall that has like the date marked off or something like that. There's a handful.
The vault also has one.
I gotta say, like, this game just respecting your intelligence and just being like, either you notice this or you don't, and that's fine too. But like being able to like get rewarded for deducing these things is so cool. Like, I mean, just hearing all the different perspectives too, like all of you sharing how you figured things out, and I'm like, what? No way. That's so cool. I love it.
But yeah, no, this game, I feel like this game has been very divisive, but at the same time, I'm glad I played this. I think the most apt comparison I was getting, and I don't know if y'all agree with this, was kind of just like, it's like Mist combined with some elements of Outer Wilds.
I mean, they thank the Mist team like unceremoniously in the credits. They're like, thank you, Cyan Worlds or whatever, for inspiration. So yeah, pretty appropriate.
Okay. And then, yeah, I mean, so I guess we've already gone into some of the spoilers regarding the puzzles, but I guess I was going to go into some of the spoilers revolving the story, if that's all right with the rest of you.
Yeah, I'll just take my headset off for a little bit.
Okay, so you are planning on playing this game more?
I got a friend who's going through it, so I'm gonna be there for him.
Okay, give me just a moment to set a timer for you.
Oh, if you just put something in the chat, just like X when you're done talking about it, and I'll just unmute myself, come back in.
Okay.
Yeah, I might mute myself or deafen myself also. So
okay,
I'll
Ben,
be
Chris, do y'all care?
Oh, go ahead, you. I'm not playing this again.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Cool. So yeah, basically, you come here originally, as Javi said, your uncle has passed away, and he's left all of his inheritance to you, but you're only able to get it if you can reach room 46. Otherwise, it gets donated to a charity foundation. So you kind of, and while you're exploring the mansion, you kind of discover text and letters revolving around your deceased mom, and learn that, hey, she isn't deceased, and she very well may be in the house with you right that second. She's been in hiding for years after stealing the crown from this authoritarian regime's country. And she and some like other rebels kind of went into solitary confinement, and basically you spend the entire game learning about what your country used to be before all the censorship went into place, and just there's a lot of like really interesting stuff, and I haven't even unlocked the true ending, which you need to unlock a throne room, and then with the throne room, you need to collect a crown, a royal scepter, and a cursed idol in order to unlock the true ending. And I don't know how you would be able to figure all of that out without the internet.
That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I guess I'm talking to two people who are like, oh yeah, huh.
No, I mean, like, that's neat. Just putting myself into the game and being like that little kid that's like exploring this house. I didn't get that far, so I'd be like, yeah, give it to charity. Like, I'd never find out about my mom and all that. I'd just be like, give the house away. I don't care.
No, I could see all there. But, yeah, no, I guess there isn't really a ton to add, but yeah, no, like, there's a, I don't know if either of you came across this room, it's like a rumpus room, where there's like a, you know, those old, like, fairground, like, fortune-telling machines?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I found that once, I think.
Yeah.
I've done all of them, all the spooky, scary cutscenes.
Yeah, I did all of them, too, and then it's just like, there's one where it's like, there is a gate that you did not unlock. And then just like in rhymes, just telling you that somebody's been stalking you around this house the entire time. And I'm thinking it's the mom, but I haven't gotten to the end. So
Let us know when you figure it out there.
Okay, we'll do. And then, yeah, I mean, like, I guess unless Javi had something they wanted to say about the story, I'll go ahead and text Marcus that we're done with spoilers.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything specific. Like I said at the beginning, I have not been diligent about like connecting the dots on what is happening, like with the documents you read and all that. Like my eyes kind of glaze over, like reading those newspaper articles and all that. I'm sure that that would enrich the story a lot more and probably help with some of the puzzles for sure to connect those dots.
Yeah, but so, it's like you said, you're playing this game with your wife and you guys pass the controller back and forth. So it's kind of been like, I don't want to say a bonding exercise for you, but it's I kind of envy that because my wife, I've been trying to play it with her and she's like, this game is too quiet. And yeah, I guess part of me is like, oh yeah, no, this game is severely quiet. You get a couple of sound effects and maybe like one or two tracks and that's it.
You know what though? That quietness, it is quiet, but it makes the moments where music is swelling up like really, it makes it really hit, I think, because it's like usually it happens when you're discovering something for the first time. I think that like legendary first time getting to room 46 run that I talked about earlier, like that one near the end there, oh my god, the music was going off and I was like, this is so crazy. Like it felt like, you know, like the end of like some movie where like you're seeing God or something, you know, it's like, what the fuck, you know? And I think that like that contrast really hits. There's also like certain areas where like it is like a tone and it's kind of spooky and scary. So that's all fun too. But yeah, the game is pretty quiet overall.
And yeah, I mean, I think trying to think if there's anything else to be said about this game. I think like some of the interactions, like your only correspondence with another person in this game comes from like when you interact with the experimental terminal and you're talking with like the lead technician on the site. And I'm like, oh my god, you're the only person I've seen I've talked to in like 60 days. I'm surprised this kid hasn't gone crazy yet.
I think this game has all the benefits and shortcomings of any roguelike. I think like all of the frustrations that were expressed here, you know, like a run where it was impossible to progress, or like you have to keep doing this thing until it, you know, you have, or it, like being able to like unlock some permanent unlocks that make your life infinitely easier. Like all of this stuff was in Hades or Dead Cells. It's just, you know, it's in this puzzle game wrapper that maybe it doesn't. I guess in those games, like if you're good enough, maybe you can overcome that stuff, but it's much, much harder. But yeah,
I wanted to make sure real quick. Marcus, are you back with us?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Go ahead, Javi. Sorry.
No worries.
I was going to talk about being horny for Hades, and that really powered me through those moments. But
yeah, if blueprints were hornier, you'd be all in. But yeah, I think that this game does have that achievement for beating the game in day one, and I think that would be the truly frustrating RNG experience. Like, that's really just, is the game giving you the rooms you need? And I'm sure there's got to be some strategy there that makes it more likely, but like, holy crap.
No, some of those trophies, like I'm literally like waiting until I've quote unquote 100%ed the game so I can like save a copy of that to like the PlayStation cloud so I can start a new game file for like the dare mode, the curse mode, and for the speed running trophy and the day one trophy.
Yeah, it's funny, like as much as I've praised this game and really think it's wonderful and I love it, as much as I say all these things, I have zero interest in doing any of that shit. Like, I'm not going to do it. I don't need to.
I mean, I don't blame you. I had the same sort of thing, again, going back to Outer Wilds, where it's just like, oh, you sort of look at some of that achievement list. I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't need to do that stuff. And even that was like less about a really arduous puzzle process and more just like, oh, you gotta have the specific thing happen. It's just like, no, like I solved the puzzle. I got what I came here for. I don't need to go back and just do extra stuff for funsies.
Yeah. I think though, like Outer Wilds, one of my favorite things, and I've driven my friends crazy, like when somebody shows any interest in that game, I
really encourage them to play it. And one of the things that I always say about the Outer Wilds that I think is just the coolest thing ever is, like, that game is so special. And one of the things I love about it is that, like, if you know how to beat it, you can just go beat it from day one, or like right away. Like, what a cool thing. Like, it's, I think that the game's entire purpose is gaining knowledge, right? And once you have that knowledge, you've beaten the game already. You can just go do it. And I think in a way, Blueprints mirrors that. Obviously, there's the RNG element, but like, if you understand how every room works, you understand the goals you need to consider, you can make it to room 46, even on day one. Yeah, there it might be an asshole run that might happen, but you could do it. So I think that's cool.
But I agree. Yeah, I think
that can be cool.
Hopefully you have a less frustrating time, you know, playing the game vicariously through your friend Marcus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm probably going to eventually get past that roadblock with the foundation, and that'll open up a bunch of stuff until the next roadblock. But
I bet playing with your friend, you're going to see it from a different perspective, and I think you'll like it even more than you do.
It's a little tough. That dude hyperfixates on stuff. So like, oh, what, you're 20 hours in already? Didn't you just start this week? What happened? I thought you were.
Yeah, no. I'm definitely the hyperfixated person in this room at the very least. So I understand. But yeah, that's Blueprints. I mean, like, just final thoughts around the room. I guess I'll start. While I really enjoyed my time with this, and it slowly became like a podcast game for me, like, I would just be like, oh, I'll listen to a podcast while I'm mapping out these rooms, and then when I get to a puzzle, I'll pause the podcast so I can actually think. But, overall, I had a good time with this game, but there are definitely some frustrating elements, and, you know, I don't even want to imagine what playing this game at launch would have felt like, because some of the RNG... Some of the like RNG was a lot worse when the game launched. So I'm very glad that I didn't have to deal with that. But overall, I feel like it's a game that everybody should at least give a shot, especially if you have a service like Game Pass. So yeah, I would recommend playing it, and it might not be your cup of tea, but it's a fun ride nonetheless. And yeah, I guess, Chris, I know you were a bit more sour on the experience, but final thoughts?
I mean, to be upfront, like, I am not a fan of roguelikes in general. So this already, you know, it starts off on the wrong foot. it's not my type of game. This didn't click me over. Like, Javi mentioned Hades or Dead Cells. They're a little bit, like, there's things I can more easily wrap my head around, because, you know, the core of them is like, you know, Diablo action game or Castlevania type action game. This is like, it's a puzzle game, but not really. And you're reliant on randomness. And like, that's just super frustrating for me in the way I play games. So just didn't work, didn't click. I never got that like aha moment that like you guys did, that was like, all right, I kind of get it now. I know how to, you know, amass coins or gems, or like, it just never got to that point for me. And
yeah,
no, it's fine. I think it looks neat. It's a neat looking game. I was like, this is pleasant.
Like, yeah, we didn't talk about the graphics at all, man.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's kind of got like it's got a cel shaded look to it, yeah. Right, Javi?
Wolf Among Us, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
The old Telltale cel. I love that art style, man. I wish we could get all sorts of games in that style, like character action games and RPGs. I love how this game looks. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. I will say, like, I think positive. I played this game side by side with Hi-Fi Rush, and I feel like Hi-Fi Rush is like the antithesis to this game. Like, they're very much opposites, and I think being able to balance out the kind of slow, sometimes methodical nature of this game with something a bit more fast-paced made it a lot more enjoyable for me.
Mm.
So, food for thought.
All right.
And then, yeah, Ben, your final thoughts?
Yeah, I think ultimately, I think I was playing this game more like a puzzle game than a roguelike. And if I maybe approached it more like a roguelike instead of a puzzle game, it might click better for me. You know, I like what it's going for. I like a lot of the stuff that it's doing in theory. It just didn't click for me in time. And like, you know, maybe I didn't get to the room 46. I was, I don't know, day 15, 16, something like that is how far I got. You know, if I go back to it, give it some more time, it might eventually click for me. So yeah, I might try that. But I think it's, if you're coming at this from as a puzzle game, it is kind of that, but it's probably way more of a roguelike. And I think that's sort of a thing I maybe didn't really click with, that blend. I don't know. It didn't quite work for me the way it did for other people. But yeah, ultimately, it's an interesting thing. I'm glad I played it at least.
Nice. And
I'll hop on there. You know, similar thoughts. The puzzling moments of the game are absolutely the heights of the game for me, because those aha moments are so rewarding and so fun. But not being able to do them when I want is just sort of a deal breaker for me. If this game eventually, when the devs say, hey, we're releasing a mode for all you whiners, you know, here's the thing where you can just like choose the rooms you want so you can see more of the game, I would 100% play it through in that form, and like probably cut the amount of time it takes, you know, by 75%, and be perfectly happy with it, because there are like little bits of puzzles here and there which is like, oh yeah, that, like that's that thing, or this is this thing, and you can notice it in this pick. Like all of those moments I think would still hold in that format. I just personally wouldn't be held back by, but now you can't get to that room, idiot, or you've got the object, because I, you know, the knowledge ones are a little bit better, because like, oh yeah, you'll eventually get back to it. But the ones where you need all the things and you need to make sure you have the right tools and the right gems and keys to get through certain points, those are the ones that are so frustrating. And the ones that, like, oftentimes when we're playing this game, I would just end at night on a run like that. It's like, oh, okay, nope, the game just told me no, so I just shut down the game and go play something else if it's not straight up bedtime. So it is one of those games that, like, come game of the year discussion time, if people are advocating for it, I can't argue that, because I from what I've seen, it's like, yeah, this game's good. It has a lot of great stuff in it, and if people got to see more and more of that great stuff, then like more power to them. And if that friction from the like room generation didn't stop it, then it is a user error sort of thing, and you know, or like user preference sort of thing, and just enough people were okay with that, or it gelled with them, that it worked. I just wish I was one of those people.
And then, yeah, Javi, you've been wearing your heart on your sleeve this entire episode, and I'm really glad you enjoyed this game. But yeah, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I did want to, I guess, meet some of you where you're at with the game in terms of like, you have goals that the game is just not letting you achieve. So like a good example for me is like, there's a secret garden that you can only access if you get a secret garden key, which I forget how you get at this point, but
it pops up all over the place.
Oh, okay, cool. So you need to get the secret garden key, and in there is one of those breakable brick walls, but you need a super hammer. And if you don't know, to get a super hammer, you first need to find a hammer, which is random. And then you need to find a lever, a broken lever. And then you need to find a battery. And that might be it. There might be an extra thing. That might be it, though. But then you need to spawn...
Sledgehammer, battery, and yeah, I think you got everything.
Yeah. But then you need to spawn the room where you can create new tools, right? So that is 4 or 5 different things that are totally random that all need to happen in a single run, right? And that has been a goal in the back of my head for a long, long time, like a month now, right? And those circumstances have not presented themselves yet. I either get a super hammer, but no garden key, or I get a garden key and there's no super hammer or whatever, right? And if you're hyper-focused on that's the goal, that's what I'm going to be working towards, you know, on every run, yeah, it's going to be super frustrating. So you cannot play the game that way, right? It needs to be a thing that you're like, okay, keep an eye out, you know? And if you get the chance, that's going to be really cool. But yeah, you can't rely on the game to just give you exactly what you need for exactly what you're trying to get. And I understand that that's frustrating. But as we've discovered in our conversations today, there's so much freaking more going on in the game than the one thing you're trying to do. There's so much that you're not even aware of. Like I've been in that drafting room 1,000 times and you guys are like, have you solved the puzzle in there? I'm like, what puzzle?
Yeah, right? No, I was the same way. And then it's just like stuff like random rooms, like the cloister, like there's like a little
cloister,
trick.
Yeah. I don't even know there's a secret. I've been in there with like a super shovel, just like looking at those dig sites, being real sad. So I don't know secret you're talking about. But
yeah, and it's like I can literally be like, "Oh, you haven't discovered X yet," but I can't say that out loud.
Yeah. But you know, as I've said already, these things that make the game frustrating. At the same time, I think make the game so special. Like you don't get that sweet, sweet reward without the bitter, bitter failure. you need the stakes to be high. You need to be able to like, I could fail and we could just waste this amazing opportunity or vice versa. Right. So I wouldn't have it any other way. I think this game is really, really special. And I think that like I say about sevens are usually the better games because they're more special to a specific type of person. Like a game that appeals to everyone is generally less interesting. So that's why those 10 out of 10s, they're good. Obviously, they're great. But if you want something that really resonates with certain people, not to say that Blueprints is a 7. I don't think that's the case. But what I'm saying is it's an acquired taste, and I think that's why it hits so hard for people that are into it. I think this is easily my game of the year so far. Death Stranding 2 is less than a month away, so we'll see about that. You know what I'm saying? But no, Blueprints, fucking amazing game.
You are a Kojima junkie.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I highly recommend Blueprints. I highly recommend The Outer Wilds and The Witness. And if you have dreams, play Locke. Check out Locke. It's so good.
Are those servers still online?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Check out Locke. Like, sleeper hit right there. That game is... It should be a full-blown release. And it's amazing. But yeah, puzzle games, man. They're very cool. That's it.
Sweet.
Gotcha.
All right.
Actually, we're going to have to put these in separately so we can vote.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Bleh.
Well, we could read them out, though.
No.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah. All right. That's fine, Mark.
No. I do have a question. Promise Mascot Agency, the first game on this list. What is that? Anyone hear
about it? It's an indie game that's done by the folks that did Paradise Killer.
Paradise what now?
Paradise Killer. It was like a very fun adventure game with a lot of character. And Promise Mascot Agency is kind of, you're like an ex-Yakuza who's trying to unravel the secrets of a town while working at, I think, your family's mascot agency.
Is that a giant thumb?
It's a bizarre game, but I thought it...
Is that the game?
That's the game.
That's it.
All right, well, that's getting my vote.
You promise?
Oh, and it's verified for Steam Deck.
Oh, it's a pinky.
Oh, yeah, well,
it's a thumb for me. I don't have a pinky emote. And then the other games to a T.
Oh, not Outer Wilds. Bleh, Outer Worlds. We're talking about it so much.
Boo.
I think
the answer to Outer Wilds.
Outer Worlds, who cares?
Yeah. I love Obsidian, okay? Give me a break.
Oh, that's right. You're a Fallout New Vegas stan.
Well, I like everything they've done, honestly.
Outer Worlds was
even game. Alpha Protocol.
That
I feel like at this point it's just worth playing too. Oh, sorry, what's that, Chris?
I'm not sure I can go on the Alpha Protocol journey with that.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. That was them.
Yeah,
know that.
Yeah, they've done a lot over the years. I feel like they're a kind of a hobby's description. Like their games aren't for everybody, but they're like 7-8 games that have such good writing to them, and I feel like there's some real gems in their catalog.
Okay, I've done my two votes, but yeah, it was SSX, the PS3 360 ones, Outer Worlds, Okami, Yoku's Island Express, Neon White.
SSX is just not accessible, otherwise I'd be all in. If it was on Steam, I'd be down.
Fair enough. And then to a T, just released on Game Pass. That's from the creator of Katamari Damacy, I believe.
I saw that. Doesn't that guy just put out some real bullshit half the time?
He puts out weird, interesting games, and they're short, so I figured you might like that.
Yeah, but the real weird bullshit part is the bit that like I can't get over. I've tried like one of his other Fallout games in the past couple years, and it's just like, where's the game? Where's the fun? It was just like quirky. It wasn't really much of a fun game.
Which game are we talking about here?
The dude who did Katamari, he had a game a couple years ago. I don't know.
Was it with the caterpillar thing? It was like Nami or something like that?
I think that's the last one I remember from them, yeah. That was weird.
Let me see which I'm trying to find. Well, Namco doesn't help, guys. Come on. Who's the main guy?
And I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Oh, is it this Takahashi? Oh, it was Watam. That was the one I was thinking of.
Okay, I think everybody has voted, and we've got a three-way tie between Promise Mascot Agency, Okami, and Neon White.
Well,
I did vote for Yoku's Island. That was me, so I can break it.
Yeah.
The suspense. Where's it going?
Promise Mascot Agency.
Cool.
I was debating between that and Neon White. I figured Promise Mascot Agency, it just came out this year, so a couple of extra eyes on it wouldn't be a bad thing. I like that studio.
And you like talking about the story, and everything I hear about Neon White is, don't you ever touch the story. Don't even look at it.
Oh, I can enjoy games without stories, but yes, I can get very drawn into a narrative of the game. But yeah, it looks like we'll be playing Promise Mascot Agency for our next episode. And yeah, with that, thank you all so much for listening to VG Club. Thank you, Javi. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Chris. And yeah, this is Viv, and I'm signing out. Say goodbye, Javi.
Later.
Bye, Javi.